Heavenly Father, we thank you so much that you are a God that we can come to in prayer. That you are a God, Father, that when things happen in our lives, that we know that we can come before you and lay all our care out before you. Father, there are so many things going on in the small assembly, Father. Give you an opportunity to express your glory. Father, we pray for Wes Tuttle and his family, for Chris and Wes, Debbie. Father, just pray that you give to Wes Tuttle wisdom expressed in spiritual love, Father, and dealing with his family. Father, we pray for our media family here, Terry and Tish, those in various relationships, Philip, who went on to be with the Lord Sunday. You have told us, Heavenly Father, your Son gave us the pattern that if the disciples had truly loved him, they would have rejoiced when he told them that he goes home to be with the Father. And while we know that that is and should be our attitude, we still suffer. But we do rejoice, Father, that Philip is home with the Lord. No more sorrows, no more tears, and is in a heavenly estate, Heavenly Father. But we pray for those that are left here, that they will continue on with their spiritual life. Pray, Father, that Tish and Terry, Jerry, Leslie, Rick, those immediately related to this assembly, will have the spiritual strength in their soul by your Spirit to minister in spiritual love, whatever opportunity and whatever they say or do, Father, in the midst of all of these things. That us as an assembly of believers in prayer and take up whatever is cast upon us to do, Father. We pray for one another in this assembly. For Heavenly Father, for Steve and the battle that he's going through. And he has already seen your grace and your love. But pray, Father, that he will continue to see it. Pray for Terry's mom in the dealing with her physical ailments, Heavenly Father, getting an operation completed. Pray for John Harvey and his family. Father, pray and rejoicing that you will continue to lead Jerry and Pam, Heavenly Father, the fact that you have clearly made it known to them, Father, with happiness and joy as they become one, Father, that us as an assembly join in their happiness. Father, I pray that you will continue to use this assembly to direct us in the manner you would have us to present the gospel, how, when, and where. Thank you for the opportunities that you have given to us and that you give to us next week in Arizona, then in Oklahoma, and all over by Cape. Father, we praise you for the God that you are. And now, Father, as we dare to open the scriptures and move into a study of spiritual love, we pray that your Spirit will open our eyes to the things that you would have us to see about your love, the love that your Spirit gives to us when we walk by faith in him. To this end, Father, we do humbly pray in Christ's name. Amen. Okay. Spiritual love and kindness. Let's see where we have now come. Just to once again orient us, we have dealt with kindness, and we've dealt with kindness as an attribute of God and took up some general principles of kindness. So that really is our first main thing that we did, noting that man has contempt for kindness. Therefore, we took up the priority of kindness to God. It is an attribute of God, and it is part of our salvation and so many different things in that. Now, dealing with the aspect that love is kind, and dealing with kindness as it relates to love, the first thing that we looked at was kindness and the concept of kindness and the attribute, or the, not attribute, but the effect or impact of love of long suffering. And I wanted to start there, even though that might appear to be the last thing we should cover, but I wanted to start there since long suffering was so clear on our mind. Now we are in point two, and we're looking at kindness and spiritual love itself. Where does kindness fit in into the realm of spiritual love. And that's where we are, right in the middle of our study. So let's move to that point, kindness and spiritual love. And we have moved in this study through point six. And so we'll just start right there. Here under point six, we saw spiritual love is kind, and therefore spiritual love conveys kindness. And it was here last week that we took up a look at how Jesus Christ talking about Christotes, a word that is for kindness, in Luke 5, in dealing with the wine bag and wine, how wine is kind. And we saw, well, we could learn some things about kindness from that non-theological context. And from a non-theological context, we picked up some things about spiritual love and about kindness. Kindness penetrates the whole of love. So every part of love is impacted by this kindness. And this is what spiritual love conveys. Just as wine conveys kindness, when there is spiritual love, it conveys kindness. Christians don't like this. They prefer judgment and other things, but this is what love will do if love is present. Then, point seven, where we left off now, point seven. As we saw, spiritual love is the alchemizing force that transforms all the actions that we do into something useful and gives it utility. In other words, we pick this up, the concept from 1 Corinthians chapter 13, 1 through 3, where we saw that if I speak with the tongues of men and angels but do not have love, I say nothing. If I have the gift of prophecy, if I know all of the mysteries, all of the doctrines, if I give everything I own, just taking up wonderful attributes that are generally characterized as Christian and as good, but without spiritual love, they're nothing. What converts or transforms, alchemizes, if you please, I just like the word and what it conveys, what alchemizes these common things into something precious? Well, it's spiritual love. Now, under point seven, what we're seeing is that it is kindness that is that property of spiritual love that accomplishes this. Because you remember by the definition of the word, kindness refers to that which is useful. It makes something useful. And we spent some time in regard to what the word meant. Makes it useful, serviceable, edifying, suitable for a specific purpose. Now that's what this word kindness means. So it adds, what it adds in this big urn that we are pouring in all these little potions and creating this love, what we've now added is that which will take everything that we do and make it useful. That's what kindness adds to the whole of spiritual love. And if we just think about it in normal way of life, when people do things in kindness, it takes whatever they do and just jumps it up way up. Somebody could just come along and, you know, just give you something, or resentfully, or hold it back, or do it to control you. A lot of people do things today to control, but boy, you know when people do it in kindness. And there's something that happens inside of you when you receive something from somebody, and you know it's in kindness. There's no control. They don't want anything. They're not going to try to gain anything. They're not doing it for any ulterior reason. It's just the kindness. Here, let me do this. Parent to child, husband to wife, wife to husband. We know when we're treated in kindness, and it really adds a dynamic to whatever's being done. It's just a wonderful, wonderful thing when something is done in kindness. And that is what spiritual love, or that's what kindness adds to the spiritual love. That's why it's there. We saw why long suffering's there. Now we see why kindness is there. It adds, it makes it useful, edifying, gives it that utility. So this is what it does. The kindness of spiritual love imparts benefit to others. Remember, how does Christ love? Christ loves beneficial to others, sacrificial to self. This is where spiritual love comes in. Spiritual love imparts that benefit to others factor. It adds that. There is no spiritual love where there is no benefit to others. And spiritual love adds that part of being beneficial. That's why it's there. Kindness acts. It's alive. It's a force. It's a verb. Kindness is the energy of spiritual love that has an impact on the object of love. It's one of the most wonderful things. That's why Scripture says, in His kindness, He draws us to repentance. Kindness has an impact. Just giving somebody some money may not have an impact that we're talking about, or it may pay their bill. But boy, when you do it in kindness, that has an impact. That draws, that leads to where the plan of God desires it to go. So it has an impact on the object of love. Kindness makes spiritual love useful. Spiritual love is not useful without this kindness. Whatever we do, give, help, say, we could talk to somebody, whatever it is in this kindness that is going to add this ingredient that we're here talking about. In Galatians chapter 6, what does it say? Let him who is spiritual restore one another, such a one, what? In a spirit of kindness or gentleness. Now, it's a different word, but it's that idea. So it's not just a matter of doing something, but when we're doing it in spiritual love, there's going to be a kindness there that is going to make it useful, convert those actions into something extremely valuable in the plan of God, convert those actions or alchemizes those actions into something that is going to glorify God, not me, not you. It's His love. Okay, point eight. Spiritual love is a force. As a force, it has the properties of a force that we have studied. Magnitude, direction, and impact. The impact of spiritual love is that it is kind. Spiritual love comes across kindly. Not harsh. Not cruel. Not with self-interest. But kindness. This is how Christ died on the cross for us. This is how Christ treated the disciples in the upper room the last night. They came in, they made every mistake that they could possibly make, and instead of bracing them, He got down on His knees, took off the cloak of His shoulders, representing His deity, took the form of a servant, and washed their feet. This is what kindness will do. It sees the need, meets the need. You know, stick your foot in here, Peter, you dummy, you're so dirty, you don't even realize how pitiful you are. I'll have to clean you up. He didn't do that. He didn't do that at all. This is a kindness that is of love. That it does these things not in a harsh, not in a cruel manner. Not for self-interest. Spiritual love is a kind force, people. Spiritual love is a force. It's a kind force. As we're going to see later, we're going to see what does kindness sound like. What does kindness look like? Spiritual love is a kind force. It is a force that hits hard with a great magnitude. The magnitude is a magnitude of kindness. Its impact has all the impact that kindness makes. Other people are overwhelmed by such kindness. We're overwhelmed by the kindness of Jesus Christ at the cross. We're overwhelmed. We can't explain it. And it's a shame when people want to come along and add to His work on the cross. Add their church membership. Add their repentance. Add their confession. Add their little, you know, whatever they want to add. Instead of just taking the kindness of Jesus Christ at the cross and accepting it. Okay. Kindness and long-suffering. Kindness and spiritual love. Now we're ready for Roman numeral 3. Now we're ready for Roman numeral 3. Roman numeral 3, the impact of kindness on spiritual love. The environment that kindness of spiritual love makes. The impact of kindness, and look at the impact of kindness on spiritual love. And by that I mean, up here, the main thing that we looked at here is that it added that aspect of David is usefulness. We saw that spiritual love is a spiritual force, and spiritual love alchemizes everything we do. Well, it is the kindness that does that in spiritual love. Now, let's look at the impact of kindness on spiritual love. By that I mean the environment that kindness or spiritual love makes, or the environment that kindness gives to spiritual love when it's in operation. What does the world see when they see the kindness of spiritual love? In other words, people, we've already seen with long-suffering that what? Long-suffering is on the inside. The world cannot see long-suffering. The first impact of love. They can't see that. That's between you and God. What they are going to see now is the impact of kindness. So let's see what the world sees. Remember, nearly all the way through, we have an inner impact that is not seen, and then an outer impact that is. Inner, long-suffering. Outer, kindness. Inner, not jealous. Outer, doesn't boast. Inner, not arrogant. Outer, does not act unbecoming. God cares how His love acts. God cares what His love looks like. So, now we're looking at the environment that kindness gives to spiritual love. Alright, everybody clear where we are? Point one. Kindness is made a part of spiritual love by God because kindness is what is needed by the recipient. Remember that. Kindness is what is needed. Other people in your life need the kindness of spiritual love, just as you and I need the kindness of God's love. Other people need the kindness of spiritual love. Your husband needs this kindness. Your wife, your children, your parents, your friends, believers at work, believers in the local church, they need the kindness of spiritual love. I'm sorry that so much of the world, of the Christian world today, is teaching about law and the Ten Commandments and justice and holiness and judging and separating and purity and all of these things because, people, we don't want to do this. This would make unbelievable demands. It's much easier just to separate and know that you're doing the law right. But to love when somebody's hurt, when somebody's done something, to love, to reconcile, to forgive, to restore, that just demands too much. As we've already seen, nothing will make more demands on your life than to love as Christ loved. Nothing. And He did not lay down our life, He laid down His life. A lot of Christians want to lay your life down. No, Jesus Christ laid His life down. So we've got to understand love in this respect. So other people in your life, in your peripheral, need the kindness of spiritual love. People that God brings into your life. They have wronged, they have injured you, they have hurt you, or they've hurt others because of their sinful state and their own hurt in their own life. And instead of you lashing out, instead of you judging, instead of you seeking revenge, instead of you seeking control, instead of you getting even, instead of any of these kinds of things, they receive your kindness. They receive the kindness of spiritual love. God's love is kind. Most believers are ready and eager to separate rather than have an impact of the kindness of love. They would rather have an impact of purity, what they think is purity, what they think is holiness. Separation is easier. Judging is easier. And you have the facts on your side when you judge. You have nothing on your side to forgive, to treat them in kindness, to be reconciled, except what? Except what? The cross. You have nothing on your side to treat someone in kindness that has wronged you or whatever it is that they have done, except the cross. Do we need more? But most Christians don't want that. They want the law. They want everything that the law has and what the law offers. They do not want this kind of kindness that we have at the cross. So kindness makes the other person drop their guards, causes them to feel this kindness and perhaps be drawn to repentance and drawn to recovery. Okay? Point two. The effect of kindness of your love that's flowing through you, spiritual love flowing through you, is that it presents further problems, further ramifications, further sins. When you react, you set up chain reaction. We used to, people have chain smoke, or chain smoking is chain smoking. You ever been around somebody chain smoke? It's where they light a cigarette off of a cigarette. That's a chain smoker. It's not just a smoker, so much a smoker that puts out a cigarette, then light a chain smoker, in the truest sense, just it lights one right after the other. Here's take one out, put one in and light it off of that one. Put that one down, take that out and light it off of another. Well, that's what we do in life with sin, chain sinning. Someone has hurt us and we're gonna react off of that sin. Not something else, but we act off of that sin to make another sin. And we're just going to make it worse and worse and worse. You did this, I get to do this, A do this, do this, do this, and this thing goes on and on and on. Okay. Now, what does kindness do? The effect of kindness is it stops it right there. It stops it. As Barney Fife likes to say, let's nip it in the bud. And this is what the kindness of spiritual love does. It nips it right in the bud. Nips it right there. Boom. It's over now. Let's stop it. It needs to stop somewhere, and it stops with his love. And where do we see that? At the cross. It stops at the cross. It stops with this kind of love. But boy, where there's not this love, if just sin is built on a sin, maybe more gossip, more maligning, more talking, more division, more separation, more her, more this, more that, and it just continues on. And people get, whatever happens to somebody, they get frozen in their position. People, the arrogance of man just freezes in. That's what the hardness of the heart is. And you can cause the hardness of the heart on somebody. You just come at them, and they're going to take a stand. They're going to tell you why they're right or wrong, and if they are wrong and they know it, they don't care. Because you put them in that position. You put them in that position. You push them. What does kindness do? Kindness removes all of that. Takes all of that away from them. And now they have nothing to prove, nothing to react to. So the effect of the kindness of love, people, is that it presents further problems. It prevents the chain sinning from going on. When we do not have long suffering of love, you create more and more problems because kindness isn't there for them to respond to. So you have to ask yourself, what is the environment that my love creates in my home, in my marriage, in my life, wherever we are? What does the world see when they see your love in action? Or do they see it at all? What do they see? And you and I can just, go to different places and watch people get very mad and watch people get all upset and watch people, the way they respond and react to what happens at work, on the highway, in the grocery store, different places. And, they're watching, always watching, see how you handle these things. Talk to, Gene Hess. Gene Hess is She works at Continental, and every now and then, because of the circumstances, she did it for a long time, but she's in a different level now, but she still has to go down and do work behind that ticket thing. And she says, boy, you just learn about people, especially if there is some kind of a problem. You just learn about them. You can watch people who probably otherwise are nice people. Very nice people. Probably just gave, a big hug to everybody in the airport, gave $5 to the red cap for bringing in their suitcases and all whatever, and get up there and just explode. She told me about this one case where this guy was just really letting her have it and foul language and everything going on, and she said this big old guy just walked up and stood beside the guy and leaned over at him and said, in Texas we don't talk to ladies that way. And he was so big, the other guy just said, okay. But It just, I remember in Southwest, in Houston, at Hobby, I was there, and it was just one of those lightning days, and the planes weren't going, and they canceled flights and all this stuff, and the little area, big area, but it was just jam-packed with people, and people were nervous, people were mad, people, you know, and this one guy was, I was right at close to the window, and he's right there, hell, you know, Jesus Christ, hell on earth, or something like that, and I said, oh, he's already gone. And, I mean, you could tell the Christians in the crowd, they just cracked up. He just looked at me and, I think he did reply. I hope he got a cheap seat or something like that, but he walked off. He probably may have been a believer himself, but this is what happens to us all when we get out. Every one of us has gotten out, and there isn't the kindness of love, and we walk away and we just go, kick ourselves. And, because we know better. So what does the world see? They see a kindness, people. It prevents the next thing from happening, and the next thing, and the next thing. It just stops it right there. When somebody has sinned, somebody has hurt, and they see the kindness of love. Point two. Point three. So point two, the question, what is the environment of your life? That's something you have to answer. Not answer as a broad statement, but answer, you know, 20, 30 times a day. Answer every time your love, your spiritual love is pricked. Every time your spiritual love is challenged. Remember when we say long suffering? What are the things that will force against spiritual love? And we studied some 26 things that come and cheat against spiritual love. Every time one of those things happen, you have to ask, what does my love look like? And we all sometimes walk away and say, boy, I didn't look pretty there. I hope nobody knows I'm Christian. Because that wasn't good. And what are we saying? I wasn't in the spirit. That's what we're saying. And when we walk away and it was there, we can't say, boy, I was really good. No, I was in the spirit. And his love looked good. And that's what his love looks like. And we must prefer that. So what does the world see when they see your love in action? If they see your love at all? So there's a principle here. Spiritual love will intrude on your natural self. It will intrude on your life. And again, this is why many believers do not like and do not desire, do not pursue love. We're told to pursue love. Many do not pursue love because it means they're going to have to make decisions and act in a way that they do not want to act. They'd much rather separate and divide and all of that kind of thing. Point three. The next effect of kindness, of spiritual love, is that it has the power to lead others into truth. That's powerful, people. Now, you see what point one did? It stopped the sinning. It stopped it in its tracks. The other person now doesn't react again. They committed a sin. You react. They react. You react. They react. All of this kind of thing going on. You stop that immediately with the kindness of love. Now what happens? Point three. The kindness of spiritual love has the power to lead them into truth. Doesn't mean they always will, because not everybody is going to be drawn to the kindness of the love of God at the cross. Not everybody is going to be led to the kindness of the love of Christ at the cross. We know that. People reject love. People refuse love. People will not respond to love. I'm saying that the kindness of spiritual love does have that power, though we saw that in Romans chapter 2. We saw that where do you not realize that the kindness of God draws you to repentance. So it is clear that the riches of the kindness of God lead us to repentance. And therefore it is clear in our own lives the action of kindness, of spiritual love, will lead other people to truth. Now, what is truth? Truth means it will lead them back into the spirit of their life. We've studied this when we studied our One Another series, but there are various levels. So here is Believer A and Believer B. Now, Believer A has sinned against Believer B. So, what do we know now? And what did Believer B do? First of all, he restores. He restores. This is the first thing. Restores Believer A in his relationship with God. Namely, God the Holy Spirit. That's the first thing. Not restore his relationship with the believer, but restore the believer in his relationship with God. Now! Now there can be a restoration of the relationship of A and B because they're both in the spiritual life now. They're both in the spiritual life. So now this can be restored, but not until this one is. Once that one is, then you can restore here, you can help, straighten out the problem, do all of those things, but this is the first priority. Right there. And that's what spiritual love will do. It will draw them to repentance. It stops them. It takes them off of the defense and of the sin that they've committed and all of that. And now you draw them to a point where they can be restored to God the Holy Spirit, because people, no matter what you do, if they're not filled with the Spirit and you're not filled with the Spirit, it doesn't matter in the spiritual realm. Now, two unbelievers can make up and be jolly, believer and another believer, out of what I'm out of fellowship, out of power the Spirit can do it. But I'm talking about where it has a spiritual impact in your life, where it's a profit to you, where it's a benefit in your relationship with God. So now, you both are back in the spiritual life, and now things can be accomplished. Now things can be done. So this is very powerful. Effect of the kindness of spiritual love that will lead others back into the relationship with the Lord, back into the local church, back into whatever it is, the family, whatever it may be, is kindness. Kindness is what is going to lead them back. The kindness of spiritual love, not the judgment. Four. Kindness motivates spiritual love to set an example to others. Kindness motivates spiritual love to set an example to others how things ought to be done. Okay. Now, you know, I won't take you to the passages. We've done it. But let me just remind you of the passages. Let's see how this works. The kindness of spiritual love, so you know what we're looking at, the kindness of spiritual love motivates spiritual love to set an example to others on how things ought to be done. Now, we have seen in Titus how Jesus Christ laying down his life for us was out of his kindness, right? Okay, that's his kindness. Now, from that, 1 John 3:16, we know love by this. He laid down his life for us. We ought to lay down our life for one another. So it motivates now for us to be kind to others. It sets the example. Jesus Christ set the example in his love, and that love comes to us, and we set the example, and someone else sets the example. This is the power of spiritual love. And I'm sure you all know that this is secular, human. This is not spiritual. But it's the idea. You get these things, and, you know, if you will smile at someone today, and they smile at someone, and they smile, you know, all that kind of stuff. Or if you're kind to someone today, and then they're kind, and this kind of thing, if you do this, and just tell them that. You know, and that's the idea here, though, in the spiritual realm. This is what really happens. You treat someone in spiritual love, and it is going to show them how to treat someone else in spiritual love. This is what it will do. Especially if parents rear children. And we have seen this so many times, but here's the parents, and they have a child. The child grows up to be a parent and decides, okay, I don't know any whatever else I'm going to do in regard to my child, but I'm going to love them as my parents love me. Why? We don't need to read books. We don't need all that kind of stuff. All we need to do is if we can just learn to love our children the way my parents love me, because I knew their love when I failed. I knew their love when I passed. I knew their love when I was sick. I knew their love. You know, I know how their love made this effect on me. I know how their love affected me. That's a great thing to be said of a parent. I know how to love because my parents love me, and I know what their love did for me. I know the effect of their love. This is how we love. How do we love? As Christ loved us. I know the effect of Christ's love. He died on a cross for me. So I know what that love does. It didn't depend on me. It didn't depend on what I was. It just depended on Him. And so therefore, you love another person that same way, and the love wherewith Christ has loved you, the effect it had on you, that same love will have the effect on someone else. So this is another powerful progression in the effect of love, of kindness of love. It motivates to set the example to others on how things must be done, are to be done. So Christ's love is that which motivates us and illustrates to us the kindness of love. So it motivates this kind of kindness. The riches of His kindness of God leads to repentance. So when we love someone, we see the results. It's going to happen and occur in their life as a result of that. Okay. Next thing I want to look at, and it's going to take a little while, so you can just write it down. Point five, we're going to pick up, and then now this will be, my goodness. Well, we're going to do Revelation, so we won't be here for quite a while, will we? Well, what we're going to look at next is, what does spiritual love sound like? Love makes a sound. Now we want to look at what does spiritual love sound like. And we're going to take a look at what the kindness of love sounds like. And we'll look at that sometime from now. So we will not be here next week. Nor will we be here the next week. Nor will we be here the next week. I'll be in Arizona, California, and Oklahoma. And then the following week, both Tuesday and Wednesday night, we're going to do Revelation. So I'm really, really excited about it. And got everything ready to go. And this is going to be a lot of fun, I think. I think we're going to enjoy Revelation. And if you just come, you're going to know Revelation. I mean, you just come. I'm gonna give it to you every which way I can, and tell you what I'm gonna tell you, and tell you what I told you, and go through it so that you're just gonna know what that book's about.
Is it gonna
put
it in the
paper? I'm sorry.
Oh boy.
Is it gonna put it in the paper? No, but I think you're gonna be real pleased with the little twist in the way that we've ever approached the book. And as I've already told you, I'm already excited. I want to finish up all of the work here that I'm doing, and I'm going to start immediately on another book, and so we can get going on another book, and because I love what's happened. Okay, let's close in a word of prayer. And I may be wrong. We get there, and you might say, let's go back the old way. That's fine. Just you feed back to me. Okay, let's say a word of prayer. Father, our study tonight has just taken us to who and what you are and what kind of God you are. Father, it is so important that we understand that our dealings with one another is our view of you. Not when we sin, but when we say that what we're doing this as a Christian. We're doing this because we're believers in Christ. We're doing this because this is what you would have us to do. But what the world is seeing, both angels and man, is our view of you. What they're seeing is our view of the way you love. It's what they're seeing. So it is so important, Father, that we understand your love and walk in your spirit and let him pour this love into us. We'll know what it sounds like and looks like. Father, we praise you that you're the God that you are. Father, we pray that you will continue to consider our petitions tonight, all the people that we've laid before you in prayer time. We can watch you work. Some cases we won't see, but we trust you. We pray that you will give us, and some of them, observable proofs of your existence there and of your actions. We praise you for the God you are in your Son's precious name. Amen.